Welcome to this Martin Bailey Photography Podcast, episode number 35. Welcome to this week's episode, which is number 35. On Monday this week, I drove a couple of hours to a town called Chichibu in Saitama Prefecture, northwest of Tokyo. My intention was to shoot a park that, at this time of the year, attracts hordes of tourists to enjoy the Shibazakura, directly translated as lawn cherry blossom. Shibazakura is, I believe, called creeping phlox or ground pink in English. Now, there's no real need for me to explain much about this, as I'm not even going to show you any of the photos from this park today. The reason is I got much more excited about photographing a derelict cement factory that I passed through on the bus that coached us from the car park to the park itself. Listen on to hear more about my 1 hour and 20 minute adventure. As the bus full of tourists pulled out of the car park heading for the Hitsujiyama or Sheep Mountain Park a couple of miles away, the nature photographer in me that wanted to shoot the pretty flowers in the park was pushed aside to make way for the documentary photographer as we wove our way through a derelict cement factory that was being used as a temporary car park for the hordes of tourists that will flock here every year to view the creeping phlox flower fields. Everywhere is covered in white dust. The corrugated steel walls of the buildings and the steel girders that support them are rusted and missing in large patches. The windows are broken and the machinery silent. What used to be, without doubt, a hive of activity as hundreds of workers toil daily to make a living is now a ghost town. I turned to my wife sitting in the seat behind me and said that I wanted to shoot this place after we'd visited the park. I was expecting a little resistance since the heat was already becoming a little oppressive, although it was still only around 9 a.m. It's been getting warmer in recent weeks, but May Day 2006 was the first hot day this year, with temperatures reaching 30 Celsius or 86 degrees Fahrenheit. I was presently surprised to hear an immediate affirmation to my statement, though. It turned out that my wife had also started to get excited as we looked at the buildings as we, you know, that we were seeing around us as we passed through this creepy-looking environment. I shot a lot of images in the Hitsujiyama Park, but it was really not what I'd expected. Apart from the crowds of tourists here for the same reason as me, I just wasn't really getting anything from this place. It was just, you know, pretty fields and too many people. I guess I'd expected all of the people, but the place itself just wasn't really what I'd expected. I'll put a link to the few images that I did post on my website into the show notes, though. This also includes a couple of shots of some common field speedwell, the little frail blue flowers that I've shot a few times in the dewy grass that was at the side of the path on the walk up to the park. I was in jeans and a thick t-shirt today, with also my black photographer's vest that I wear. The weather forecast had said that it was going to get hot today, and it started to. But I was still not really prepared for the heat today. I usually wear very lightweight trousers and a thin t-shirt when the temperatures get high. It's not going to be below 30 for the next few months once the summer really does start. But I don't know. It seems that most years, the first hot day or the first few hot days catches me unawares, and I tend to get a little bit uncomfortable. My own fault, though. We knew that it was going to get hot, so anyway, we walked around for a few hours, bought lunch at some stalls that were there to cash in on the tourism, but my mind was really already working through the possibilities awaiting me at the cement factory. After lunch, we took a walk back to the pickup point for the bus to take us back to the car park and walked back into the grounds of the cement factory at around 1:40 p.m. I was to spend the next hour and 20 minutes in a photographic frenzy, really. Not rushing, but wandering around like a child on a Christmas morning, shooting everything that came into sight. It was difficult to choose the shots that I eventually uploaded to my website this morning, but I narrowed it down to 17 shots. Some are not great from an artistic perspective, but I was really now documenting the factory and decided to include some of the shots to complete the story. All but a few shots I have desaturated. The sun was bright. There was light hazy cloud coverage most of the time, but many of the shots were in the shade as well, and all of the subjects had a heavy coating of white dust, probably a mixture of cement and the dust kicked up from the gravel on the ground as cars and trucks rode over it. Let's take a look at the first shot, which is number 967. If you're new to this podcast and don't know how to view the images, please listen to last week's episode, number 34. I'm trying not to explain every week, but I did so last week. This shot is a simple red door with a corrugated steel eaves above it and a dirty window above that. I shot this at f5.6 for 1/60th of a second with my 24-105mm f4 lens. I chose a relatively wide aperture to throw the window slightly out of focus to give the image some depth. I was at ISO 100 for this image. The sign on the door has been painted out, though you can just make out the characters that warn of flammable substances. I imagine that this was simply sprayed over in a hurry as the factory production was being halted around 1993. I stopped to ask the car park attendant on the way out later on if he knew anything about the place, and it seems that he used to work here and retired before the factory did stop production. But he told us that that was around 12 or 13 years ago. The person that had spray-painted over the sign did not have the usual attention to perfection that the Japanese have. He simply didn't care that the paint would run. He didn't even have time to, or probably the inclination to, apply two or three coats waiting for each one to dry to stop it from running. The next shot, number 970, shows some rusty shutters that have been overrun with ivy. It seems ironic that the shutters have obviously not been opened for long enough for the ivy to take root across their entire surface and now have a full cover of lush, fresh spring ivy leaves for decoration. The old and the new contrast is what caught my eye and prompted this image. I opened my aperture to f5.6 again here too, as I was shooting straight on and didn't need any real depth of field to capture this in full focus. The shutter speed was 1/250th of a second and I was using ISO 100 still. I was under compensating by 2/3 of a stop to keep this scene from becoming too bright in the harsh sunlight. There are other shots between this and the last and the others I'll mention here. If you're interested, there'll be a link to all 17 shots in the show notes. For now, let's move on to shot number 972. I've called this peekaboo, but I'm not sure who's spying on who. Inside the building, with safety first written in four Chinese characters above the door, that can also be seen in one of the other shots, there was this old forklift truck. It looked as if it probably has a few years life in it still, though it's been locked away behind some large steel shutters to rust. The single headlight towards the top of the frame seems to be peeking back at me as I squeezed a shot between the shutters of the building and the door frame. I actually could have got closer to the door here and reduced the amount of the image that is obscured, but I chose to stay away a little to increase the tension. This was shot at f8 to stop the door frame and the shutters from becoming so out of focus that they became an annoyance. The shutter speed was down to 1/25th of a second, as there was not a lot of light inside the building. I could have increased the ISO to get a deeper depth of field by closing the aperture down further still, but I didn't want the frame of the door to be in focus too much either, or it would have been become a distraction. I wandered through the factory grounds a little more to an area with lots of tall buildings with ducts and steel frames holding up large pieces of machinery. The next image, shot number 976, shows part of this scene. I used a 24mm TSE lens, or tilt-shift lens, to straighten up the verticals in this shot. You know how normally when you look up at buildings that you're close to, the vertical lines tend to taper inwards as they get up, you know, into the sky. Well, I actually straightened the lines up to be perfectly straight using the TSE lens, and I had to change this back a little in Photoshop, making the vertical lines lean in slightly towards the top of the image, as I found that perfectly straight lines made it look like the building was toppling forwards towards me. I called this image Toilet, as the small white building in the foreground is a toilet. I found it strange that there was just this one small toilet in the grounds. Although I'm sure there were many toilets in the other buildings, it seems that this is the only one for the large factory in this shot, and that extended past me to my right and then turned at right angles and worked the whole way around the back of me so that I could see the other end as I turned my head to the left. I'd closed the aperture down to f16 to get as much of the scene as possible in focus, and this still gave me a shutter speed of 1/125th of a second at ISO 100. The next shot, number 978, is one of three that I posted of this particular building. I desaturated this a little more than the rest of the shots from this site. I actually desaturated this to around minus 50 in Photoshop, as I wanted to keep the feeling that I got while shooting this building. Firstly, this side of the building was in shadow, and I didn't really remember it being very vivid, so I didn't want the green in the foliage in front of the building to take center stage. Also, I was actually quite strongly moved by this building. Most of the windows were broken, and I couldn't help feeling sad that what was probably once a hive of activity, as hundreds made their livings here, was now this derelict, rusty, haunted house, if you like. It was strange. I'm sure that this was caused by the heat of the day causing the buildings to expand, but as I was photographing the building, a number of times there were large cracking noises coming from within. I have to admit that although I was more sad than scared, the hairs on the back of my head stood up a few times. For this shot, I was still using my TSE lens to correct the perspective, but the slight leaning in of the vertical lines was this time the limitation of the lens. I was at the very end of the the ability to straighten the perspective. The reason being, really, I was actually very close to the building, and shooting at 24mm to still give me this amount of coverage. The aperture was f11, and the shutter speed was 1/15th of a second. I was still at ISO 100, but now using a tripod. It's difficult to use a TSE lens to correct perspective without using a tripod anyway, so I had to slow down the pace of my shooting, despite me still being pretty excited about finding this jewel of a location totally unexpectedly while out here to shoot some pretty flowers in a field. It just goes to show, really, that you never know what you'll run into while out and about. I'd actually not initially intended to bring my TSE lens today, and I I didn't think I would need it. I put it in the bag at the last minute, just really as a last minute thought, and I'm really pleased that I did. I also shot this building with my 24 to 105mm f4 lens, but the shots just didn't really work. This and the next shot are probably going to be my favourite images for a while. As I walked over to a building that had no shutters on the door so that I could walk inside, once again the hairs on the back of my head stood up. This time though, it was 98% excitement and just 2% being spooked by the scene. Let's take a look at shot number 981, which was the scene I found at the back of a very dark, dusty building. At first, I was actually finding it very difficult to see any detail in the scene, other than the bright patches of light streaming in through the holes in the corrugated steel walls. The tyres here looked as though they'd been almost positioned for the shot, and the texture of the crumbling back wall and the rusty steel had the artist in me almost in tears. I was very, very touched by this whole scene. I had to stop shooting a couple of times, actually, just to gather my thoughts, as I felt so lucky having found such a place and be in a position to photograph it. I'm not sure if it was okay to actually be in here, but there were cars parked right outside, people walking around quite freely, so I'm sure that this was not a problem. The 24mm TSC lens would have been too wide to get this room in with the perspective that I wanted. I shot this with the 24 to 105mm f4 lens at 28mm. This was just right to get the pillars in on the left, but as I was pointing the lens down quite a lot to get the sunlight hitting the floor in the foreground in the frame, the pillars to the left were leaning out considerably in the original. This time I chose to correct the perspective in Photoshop, straightening up the pillars to be almost straight. Once again, I didn't straighten them perfectly, as this starts to look unnatural. The aperture for this shot was f16 to get as much of the room as possible in focus, and this gave me a shutter speed of 1 second at ISO 100, so you can hopefully appreciate how dim it was in here. I was actually compensating by around 1 2/3 of a stop below what the 5D was metering the shot as, to keep the room dark. I was surprised to see as much detail in the shadows here though. The camera recorded much more detail than my eye could discern in these high contrast conditions, although I did get used to it a little during the time I spent in here. One other thing I should mention here is that those rusty red coloured scuff marks just in front of the light hitting the floor in the foreground were made by me as I walked through the scene scuffing my feet on the floor to kick up some dust to make the ray of light that pours into the scene visible. I kind of regret making the marks. I wish I'd picked up some of the dusty roots or whatever they were from another part of the room and just shook them around to raise some dust, but I probably would have walked into the scene to do so anyway, and I just didn't realise that my footprints would show up. I could hardly see the floor outside of the sunlit patches. So that's all the shots I'm going to actually talk about today. As I say, there are more shots from this location on my website at martinbaileyphotography.com, and if you're interested, there's a link in the show notes. I mentioned briefly earlier that I spoke to the car park attendant on the way out of the factory grounds, and he told me that he used to work at the factory before retiring. He also told us that the factory had opened in the 12th year of the Taisho era, which equates to 1923, in the Western calendar, that is. This particular factory stopped production 12 to 13 years ago, which makes it around 1993. But the sound of a large fan or a vacuum that we could hear coming from one part of the factory was the sound of them removing the last remnants of cement. There is a second factory about 5 kilometres down the road from this particular factory that's still in production today. The Chichibu Cement Company itself did not go out of business. They merged with the Onoda Cement Company in 1994 and in turn with the Nippon Cement Company in 1998, making the present Taiheyo Cement Company that is still in business today. The factory itself, or this factory, will be demolished after the last cement is removed, which will be a great shame. The cars got in the way of doing a real documentary shoot of the whole site, so I'd like to return here again in the autumn of this year, probably, if I can get permission to shoot when the factory is not being used as a temporary car park. I hope they don't demolish it before that time. To finish today, I'd like to mention that the contrasting colours assignment has now finished. The album has been locked and voting is now underway. There's a voting button or a vote button available above each image when you view the image full size now after clicking the thumbnails. That button will be there until the end of Sunday, May the 14th. You need to be a member of the mbpgalleries.com website to vote, but remember, please use the same name and email address to register for the MBP Galleries website, as I hope to link this to the main Martin Bailey Photography website at some point, and it will help me to merge your accounts if you keep them the same. Anyway, thank you to all of you for your excellent entries to the assignment. If you didn't get a chance to take part this time, there'll be a new assignment starting from the time we announced the winner for the current assignment. So it'll be great if you can get involved at that point. Also, I'm still hoping for you to complete the listeners survey if you haven't already, and if you have 5 minutes or so. There's a link to a post with details of the survey in the show notes. So that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed the virtual tour of the soon not to be Chichibu Cement Factory. Have a great week. Bye bye.